This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Joyful, joyful.
Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. This is the show where we talk about spirituality and sexuality for our community.
And you're on Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. I'm a bit confused about what's happening, but welcome, Tal.
Hello, hello.
And Rachel, welcome.
Hi, buddy.
Now, we've got an interesting program planned. We're going to talk to Tash Holmes from Miracle Noise, and you might ask what Miracle Noise is. Well, we don't know, so we're going to find out.
Yeah, they are. We've looked a little, looks interesting, and we're going to find out more.
But we've also got lots and lots of news and gossip and things to talk about, haven't we?
I know. It's
going to be about gossip.
Gossip.
Well, why not?
No, it's going to be an all over the place, but in the best possible way, I think, this week.
It certainly is. And we're going to actually start with a track by Tash Holmes. And this track is called You Will Remember.
Once upon a time, I was pure sunshine, now broken up inside by lies. Crying did no good, 'cause I did all I could, and all those wasted years now.
and you're listening to The Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9 every Thursday at 8 o'clock. And we are now talking to Tash Holmes from Miracle Noise. Hello, Tash.
Hey, how are you?
We are very well. Now, we wanted to start by asking, what is Miracle Noise?
Well, Miracle Noise is a launch of a new worship event that we're kicking off in Sydney, and it is a compilation of as many affirming churches as we can, whether they're artists or musicians or worship leaders or just people that are involved in these different churches. We are trying to rally everyone together and start kicking off some monthly or bi-monthly services together.
How did all this begin?
A combination of a few different things. I think the last time I was on your show, we talked about how there was still a lot of, GLBTI people in churches that either hadn't come out or they had come out and they were still struggling to find support. And what's happened over, the last few years is that we are trying to both support the people that choose to stay in those churches, but also the people that have come out and the people that are in affirming churches. We want to create a space where people can come together and kind of be unified, because it is quite isolating for people.
Is it sort of a gay Pentecostal service we're talking about? which sounds very, very like it's not possible, but...
that could be one of the titles that you may like to call it. I mean, there's people that are coming from lots of different churches, but we do have quite a lot of people that have come from the Pentecostal background and Hillsong Church and those types of things. So, I mean, lots of people don't, when they leave those churches, there's quite a hole, it's quite a gap to try to find somewhere new that supports them. So this is probably one of the places that they're going to feel at home, absolutely.
What's your role in it?
My passion is obviously music and worship and developing new resources and trying to create a platform, I guess, for people like me who, came out of Hillsong, pretty much, dedicated my life to being a part of the worship team, and then obviously came out and had to leave. And then it's been kind of like, where do you go next, And I've met so many other people that have experienced the same thing. And still to this day, there really isn't much of a platform to kind of still do that kind of stuff, worship lead and songwriting and all that kind of stuff and recording. So my role is that I'm trying to create a platform so that people have a next step and have, they're still able to do those things even if they feel like they have lost everything.
Yeah, it's, I think, quite difficult, and I've spoken to two people this week who say how much they miss the worship of a Pentecostal church, but then they don't want to have to sit through sermons on what awful sinners they are.
Yes.
So yes, are you going to have a sermon?
Yeah, we do. We'll do different things. It's not a classic service. I mean, we're wanting to do things differently. We're wanting to create events that are actually, extraordinary, not predictable. So we'll have a range of different things. But, I think it's important to hear people's stories. So you probably wouldn't call it a sermon or a message, but we definitely want people talking about their stories. And because I think people really want to hear those things and how people have come through. And, so it's kind of moving from always talking about kind of the woes of people's experiences, kind of going, you can get to the other side, and it's great. It's not just survival. You can actually, do everything you ever dreamed you wanted to do, basically.
Well, that sounds like a really great way to, in a sense, build a new community, it sounds to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Healthy and well and, thriving. I think lots of people that are coming to Miracle Noise are the people that are over that. They're kind of... We don't want to be made to feel like we're less. And I think what often happens is that in churches today, we are made to feel less. You know, it's kind of like, you can come to church as long as you don't move, you know. We don't want you to do anything, but you can sit in that seat and you can tithe. We'll give you that. But it's just kind of like, no, we are better than that. We have gifts. We are talented. We, you know, we want to actually get on with it. We don't want to sit in a seat. So it's kind of like, you know, this event is about bringing that, creating a platform for people like that that actually want to get on with it, basically.
I'd be interested to find out who attends, because having gone to some Pentecostal churches recently as part of my research, I felt less of a person as a woman even in some of those churches, which made me very angry.
Yes, yes.
So I wonder if you'll get, like, straight people who...
Yeah.
You know, feel less of a person because they are.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. I think the way that it will evolve is that it will start here with this need, but because of the deeper message of it, I think it will actually start to attract, you know, everyone. There's a place for everyone within this, I think, because lots of people, you know, look at the way that certain people are treated, women, you know, GLBTI people, and it's kind of like, I can't stand by and watch that treatment going on. Where do those people go?
Yeah.
You know, where do those people go that are listening to certain messages or that kind of thing? It's like, it's not actually just this issue, but I think at the moment it's a really good place to start. But lots of the group that have been coming together has kind of been talking about, you know, we can actually set the new example. You know, we can actually, our story can actually lead a different way, you know? And I think as we kind of go, no, that's not right to treat people like that. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And even the whole, you know, way that people, that women are treated, it's kind of like there's so much room to be an example to that.
So when's the first Miracle Noise in Melbourne?
Well, hopefully we'll get to that. I'd love to do something in Melbourne as well, because there's some amazing people and venues there. But, yeah, we'd love to. Maybe you guys can come and do the live thing with us.
Oh, I'll be there.
Yeah, we'd love to do that.
Oh, it's a trip to Sydney.
Exactly.
You can go even earlier. Well, you can find out more about Miracle Noise at miraclenoise.com.au.
Thank you so much, Tash, and we're actually going to go out with another one of your songs.
That's the way.
And this one is called Spirit High.
Thank you.
You're listening to Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9 every Thursday at 8 o'clock.
Yes. Now, we're going to talk about a documentary that we both watched called Code of Silence.
Yeah, but it's still on ABC iView, and I would highly recommend going to go catch it. But, yeah.
And it's probably going to be repeated on...
Is that aimed at me, because I haven't seen it?
Yes.
Yeah.
And to our faithful listeners.
I will get onto it right away.
Well, no, not while we're on air. I don't think you should be watching TV.
So, Code of Silence is so... In 2003, there was a documentary called Welcome to the Wax Family. I actually remember watching this, and it looked at the lives of Melbourne Orthodox Jewish family, Zephaniah and Chaya Wax, and their 17 children. And it's believed that they are
17.
The largest family in Australia, and that's partly why the documentary
was made about
them. She looked
quite young for someone who'd had 17 children.
Yeah, I don't know how to put that, but the there's 9.5 months between a lot of those, those kids.
Busy.
That's
busy
my
family.
Way of putting it. Yeah, so anyway, 11 years on, this documentary, Code of Silence, follows on with one of the sons who turns secular, Manny Wax, who breaks the code of silence, as they put it, in Melbourne's Orthodox community and goes public with his story of being sexually abused as a school student. A lot of this only came out very, very recently, but Manny Wax claims he was abused by an Orthodox Jewish security guard who also taught the boys karate at the Yeshiva Center in Melbourne. And now Manny is demanding his abuser be brought to justice, and the rabbis and Chabad leaders, who he claims tried to cover it up, are brought to account. It's very fascinating and very sad as well. I was quite sad.
Well,
quite
I
frankly.
Think... Like, he has got justice in that the abuser is now in jail from that point of view. But here we've got a young guy who he didn't say anything for a long time. He acted out and got into a lot of trouble to the point where he was living in the roof of his house, wasn't he, because his parents didn't want him to contaminate the other kids. But his parents didn't understand what was going on.
Yeah.
And it probably never entered their head.
Well, it would be hard to have a one-on-one with your 17 children each day.
Yeah.
Yeah. It goes beyond that, is that what we're talking about here is the Thai community. And in the end, certainly his parents were very accepting and really helped and took a lot of flack for it. But the whole reason it's called the Code of Silence is about breaking this, you know, these almost cultish motivations to keep these sort of things out of the view of...
Well, he tried for 10 years to get someone to listen to his story.
Right, and the problem is that you do listen, and they're there, and then you go talk to the rabbi, and they say that we'll take care of it, and then it never reaches the law, which is where it should be. It should
but
be reaching.
Also, during this time, there was another... teacher from that same center, that same school.
Yeah, and he was... I remember reading about all this, and yeah, he was... It looks like basically that they sent him to America, like as in the school, or at least it could be even the wider groups here, sort of paid to get him the new job in America to sort of get sort of deport the problem.
Yeah, and then he abused someone, ended up in American jail.
Yes, that's right. And it's, you know, as they spoke about near the beginning, is it's one of those things where, as he was saying, you know, that's something we all thought, oh, that's a Catholic Church issue. And the truth is, it's not. It's an issue that's going to come in any sort of group like this that ever values its own image above justice, even for a moment, if there are individuals within that group. That's what I mean. That if there are individuals within these sort of groups that feel that way, then these things are going to happen, and it's quite awful.
I think the saddest part, though, is the fact that the parents tried to hang on to their faith throughout all this, and that they actually kept on going, but were shunned.
Right, so they were pretty much shunned and they're traitors, and even till now, you know, people would say, no, they weren't, but they were. It's stated that they weren't, and that, you know, the Yeshiva College apologizes and all that sort of thing. However, these people don't feel welcome, have problem, and are really still shunned from large, like, huge parts of the community, including from the actual leadership. So I don't even know what to say. It's just terrible.
Yeah, and I think the sad part was that, should we tell the ending? Probably not.
No, I don't think we... I think watch it.
Yeah, I think... For me, the parents were so amazing for what they had to put up with, and that they actually stood up for Manny and cared for him through this whole thing at a... incredible cost to themselves.
Yeah, whereas even not all of the children were, like, not even all of, you know, Manny's siblings were supportive.
No, it was interesting, the father said at one point that the more orthodox they were, the less supportive they were.
Yeah, which, and that's coming from him, who's, you know, the most orthodox in the family. And yeah, but he himself is saying, you know, there's an unfortunate thing going on here, which is that somehow it's ended up in some of these groups where part of being religious is that you're somehow being less religious, and that you're being banned for reporting these sort of issues to the authorities.
But isn't there some law that they have still that is actually says that you could die if you actually go to the authorities?
So this is what we were talking a little before the show, and that some of the stuff that's referenced here is about that there's a bit of a Jewish law against reporting crimes to non-Jewish authorities. The whole thing with that law was never about, ever about these sort of issues. This is when we're talking about times of living as a minority in a ghetto with huge amounts of surrounded by Christian anti-Semitism, or even further back under a Roman occupation, that sort of thing, where reporting to these people was used as an excuse to then carry out pogroms or carry out some sort of anti-Semitic attacks on these groups, or of course not report, like that you don't report like an informant. These are the sort of rules where really what we're talking about is it's like a treason issue. It's not about covering up these scandals, and it never was, and they're pretending, and it's not even them reinterpreting, and it's just flat out incorrect and disgusting.
Look, and for people who may be Orthodox Jewish and have been abused, there is an organisation that Manny's set up, and how do you say it?
Tzedek.
So it's, look it up, tzedek.org.au. But for anyone who struggles with these issues, you need to talk to someone, and Lifeline's numbers 13, 11, 14. Don't. And you're on Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9, and we're on air every Thursday night at 8 o'clock, so tune in and listen to us. Now, there was some very sad news this week, wasn't there?
Yeah, my fish died. It was really sad.
It was
sad.
Not quite what I was thinking about, and I shouldn't laugh about your fish, but Robin Williams died, and I think that was sad.
Yeah,
it was, definitely, especially the day that my fish died.
Yes. Could you buy a new fish and call it Robin, please?
That is a brilliant idea.
So what was your favourite movie?
I'm a little torn on this one, to be honest. I'm still thinking about it. All right, I'll tell you what. Underestimated, Bicentennial Man, highly underestimated movie. Anyone listening who's actually seen it is probably going, are you insane? But
yes,
I actually think it's one of his best movies.
Wow.
It's where he's a robot that wants to become a human.
Okay.
Rachel, I can't believe you don't accept it. It's a great movie.
I didn't mind that movie. Okay.
We've got two insane people in the studio.
I have a nice green gooey spot in my heart for Robin Williams because of Flubber.
Oh, my goodness.
You can now rewatch Flubber with the robot, and you can, like,
and on the panel we have Peter, who hopefully will bring some sanity to this discussion.
Well,
maybe not.
No, I liked The Birdcage. And it's a great movie, A, because it's about the LGBTIQ community, and it's also about accepting yourself of who you are. And I think that's a powerful movie, and I watched it again last night.
And you can sing along to We Are Family.
And I can absolutely sing. I can absolutely sing, and we almost had to do personal singing in the studio before, so I wasn't thinking about that one.
We could have sang that song.
Yeah.
We could have. In honour of Robin Williams. My favourite is actually Dead Poets Society.
Ah, of course. Oh,
yes. Deep and meaningful.
But look, our favourite Baptist church in America's at it again, aren't they?
Oh, definitely.
I mean, really, these people need to get a life, but they are going to picket his funeral.
Yes, the Westboro Baptists are back to, I don't know. I'm nearly at the point where I'm like, okay. There you go. I don't know if I want to give them.
I actually quite like it because I remember watching a clip of them picketing a funeral, and all the locals came out and stood and held hands to stop them getting anywhere near the funeral.
Look, maybe God sent these Westboro Baptist Church people to Earth to make the rest of the universe join together to be. Like a solidarity against
I'm not sure that God
guys.
Sent them, really.
Well,
I would think they came from another direction.
I was going to say, the first funeral I actually picketed was Matthew Shepard, who was beaten and killed for being gay. And I liked that when they did Matthew's funeral, they dressed as angels. And so that means when the people coming to mourn Matthew's life, they actually saw angels surrounding the Westboro Baptist Church. Now, the only thing I was going to add to the discussion was Robin's daughter has actually deleted Twitter and Instagram because of the trolls that have been trolling, because she made a statement via Twitter and people have written the worst things. And I'm thinking, we're talking about a man who's passed on and we're remembering his life. How can people write such vile things?
It's horrible.
Yeah,
so the Westboro Baptist Church are currently doing a God Hates the Media campaign, which is targeted at Apple and Facebook and Twitter. But they figured that they would hit two birds with one stone. So they tweeted, "We're in the Bay Area with Robin in Hell signs. Show us the memorial candlelight vigil service. Have signs, we'll travel." That's from the Westboro Baptist Church's Twitter account. Like, who even thinks of doing that at a funeral?
There can't be many of them left, really.
No, there's not. This is a game where I'm a bit like, oh, in many ways I don't even understand. You know, we're talking about like 20 people, right? Like, that's one family.
But it's 20 people with pretty big signs.
Okay. And I know. Look, they're very offensive in this, but
they are, and I think they're getting all of the attention that they want. I think that's all they want is the attention. Maybe if we started ignoring them, they would just disappear.
I don't think they will, but that's all right. But Robin Williams, rest in peace. And, I hope lots of people turn up at the funeral and stop these idiots from getting anywhere near it. Now, Tal, you found a story about a town in France.
Oh, yes. I really wanted to talk about this. So, that's not the right one. That's a slightly different one. But, here it is. So, there is a small hamlet near Paris called, pardon my French, but La Mort aux Juifs, something like that. It translates to Death to Jews. And it's been that way since, the 14th century or something.
Yeah, tell me, though, how many buildings are there in this town?
Oh, it's like two houses and a barn or something.
No, there's a farm.
It's a farm and two houses. It's this tiny place. It's technically called Death to Jews. And recently it's come up again, particularly since there's been fairly anti-Semitic rise, particularly in Paris, that now it's a bit like, hey, guys, why don't we change the name Death to Jews? People are a little resistant to the idea, mainly, I think, just because they're like, oh, well, it's always been named that. So.
But it's also, it's not been known as that, is it?
No.
It's been known as, now I can't speak French at all, Route de l'Usurie or something.
Yeah, well, it's an even it's a small hamlet as part of a larger town, so it never really even is officially gets. It's part of why it slipped under the radar for so long, such a ridiculous. But this isn't the first time. Even just in May, I remember reading about this. There was a small village in Spain named Castrillo Mata Judios, or Castrillo Kills Jews, and they voted to change their name to Castrillo. De Judio, Mota de Judio, something like that. Castrillo, the Hill of the Jews, which is a little less offensive and I think was more connected to its original name before it had been changed to Kill the Jews. And
I hope that means that the hill belongs to the Jews, not that it's hill of Jews.
No. It was a historical that a lot of Jews lived there. And actually, I remember reading in the case of that one that they think that originally the reason why it changed from Hill of the Jews to Kill the Jews is that they were Jews who converted and then tried to converted to Christianity for safety reasons and then tried to claim that they're, oh, don't worry, we definitely hate Jews here, we even renamed our village. So we'll see what happens with this French town.
You will. And we're on Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. One of the TV channels is doing a program called Living with the Enemy, and people go and live, people on opposing views of things such as same-sex marriage, immigration, detention centres, hunting and animal rights.
Oh, yeah.
Decriminalisation of marijuana and Islam. They go and live with the other person for 5 days and then they go the other way. So they live with them for 10 days.
So
all
it's
up.
Basically like housewife. Wife House swap.
It's basically a wife swap.
Wife swap. Well, you remember that show?
I didn't watch.
No, we're talking about the show,
I
not the life.
I don't know if they actually swap
lifestyle.
Wives. But anyway, there's a gay couple from Melbourne, Michael Barnett and Gregory Storer, who shack up, I'm not sure about the terminology there, with David Old, an Anglican minister who doesn't think same-sex couples should be allowed to marry. And then they shack up with him, and then he shacks up with them.
Oh, and there's the point that these two men from Melbourne are engaged as well, so they do wish to be married. It's not that they're just a couple. So they wish to be married, and this minister is opposing gay marriage.
And they seem to have gone to his church, because Gregory Storer says, David doesn't think he's forcing his beliefs on other people, but by the very fact that he stands up in church in front of his congregation with us there in the church and preaches to us that homosexuality is detestable. That's pretty rough.
I'm sure that
I wonder if he points to them at the same time and goes, just talking about you two.
He probably points with his eyes.
Well, also, let's be honest, that I'm sure that was a choice sermon for the week, you know,
for the TV program.
Yeah, that it's like, oh, what should I do my sermon on? Well, seeing the world is watching, I'm going to choose to.
But imagine if there's someone in his congregation that is struggling with his sexuality and they hear that crap.
Yeah, for the very first time ever, I'm going to go to church and I'm going to feel love from all these people. And then this minister gets up there and is like, you are not loved because you're gay.
I think the thing that a lot of these people underestimate is that this isn't just like a market of ideas sort of issue, is that it goes beyond to this next stage where we're now talking about where, one, we think that you will often literally like go to hell, and we think that's a very real and painful place and that you will be going there, and I'm educating people to think that that's the case, and also you're largely going to be excommunicated from our sort of community if you are like that, and or those sort of combination that goes beyond just offending people and into that. You know, I mean, people commit suicide over these things and all sorts of terrible things. And I hold a lot of these type of leaders like partly responsible when that,
yeah, of
when
course.
That happens.
No. Yeah. And I mean, I'm not sure what these programs actually achieve. I mean,
well, we'll find out.
I read a statement about this today and they said both parties are still in the same frame of mind that they started with. So obviously it achieved nothing. It just achieved a television show for a day. That's it.
But you know, I mean, I think we say with a lot of arguments is, I can't remember it, we haven't decided exactly what those percentages are, but in a lot of issues there's like 15% of people that think one thing very strongly and 50% in the opposite. And it's not about convincing those that other side that will never change their mind. It's about having it's about what we're showing the everyone else who's in the middle.
But wouldn't it be better to get people who were actually open to thinking differently to do the show rather than someone who is so set in his ways and he's never going to change his mind about marriage equality?
Yeah, yeah. But then that would not make good TV, right?
Right.
Oh, I'm willing to change. Let's change right now.
Well, I disagree.
Well, I think the problem is that sometimes we don't know. I mean, you never know. Maybe in this show people really will change, and that yeah. does happen sometimes. Unfortunately, it just doesn't happen often enough. But I think it achieves something in the sense that, you know, I would even say that a long time ago, it wouldn't have been that. I mean, I think even if we tried to have this conversation a decade ago of, you know, how on the cusp are we of something like same-sex marriage, I think we wouldn't even thought it was on the table.
It's exactly 10 years ago that the federal parliament banned same-sex marriage. And we had both our major political parties, both the Liberal and Labor Party, unite together to ban same-sex marriage exactly 10 years ago. So August 2004. Right. So the debate about same-sex marriage, A, has been going on for a long time, but B, 10 years ago, you had huge majorities against.
And these days, I mean, look, it's still, you know, we're still not there yet, but I would say that that's been a huge change. We're not all the way there, but I mean, now the majority of Australians certainly support same-sex marriage. And a big part of that is that we convince the middle. We convince the people who are always a bit not sure, didn't care, or that we don't, you know, we're not going to convince the more aggressive minorities.
Well, I have a better idea. I think they should have sent them to stay with Tony Abbott.
Yeah. Oh,
now that would make for more interesting.
At least, yeah, well, he's not a minister, so he has to invite them into his house.
He's a prime minister. So
yeah,
close.
But he has no backing reason to make them sleep in a caravan on his driveway.
Except he's Catholic, so he might. Yeah.
But anyway,
well, it'll be interesting to see. I'd be quite interested with some of the other issues like immigration, detention centres.
Yeah, definitely.
Do people go and live in a detention centre? I don't quite understand how that's going to work, but hey. And someone gets out for five days and someone goes in.
I think they just live with different activists.
Oh,
well, no. I get, we'll find out.
Anyway,
I want to watch.
Now we're excited about these other ones.
Yeah. Now, Israel has made a move about Jews immigrating with same-sex spouses.
Yeah, so we popped this one out. It's that, yeah, that basically there's recently just been laws passed with the Israeli government that same-sex marriages from overseas will be accepted in Israel. So I know right now anyway that basically there is not secular marriage. It's actually marriage within Israel can be very difficult, and a lot of people in Israel for all sorts of reasons end up, let's say, going to Cyprus for a weekend to get married and then come back because there can sometimes be awkward issues. However, if your marriage is not from, and that's exactly why, because if your marriage is not from within Israel, it's actually quite easy and Israel accepts them very quickly. And so with that, they've got to that next stage where now same-sex spouses are now.
They can't marry in Israel, but they can.
No, that's right, but they can move.
Be recognized within.
Well, we've reached the end of another show.
I know, it's so sad, isn't it?
I know, it always makes me sad.
I'm sad. Genuinely.
We're all sad. Now, Tal, you are leaving us for the next couple of weeks.
Yes, I won't be here for the next 2 weeks because I'll be in South Korea.
Woo-hoo.
For part of a conference to do with interfaith work there. So we'll have to talk about it when I get back.
Oh, I don't know about that. We might. I'm sure we will talk about it.
begrudgingly.
I don't know about anyone else.
We will fit it into the last 15 seconds of the show every week to let you talk about it. It's good night from Joy.
Good night from Tal.
Good night from Rachel.
And good night from Peter.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.